Jnanajnanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya
Chakshur Militam
Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Shri Advaita Gadadha
Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama
Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Initiation ceremonies are a chance for the Vaishnavas to bestow their blessings. We see in Chaitanya Charitamrita how Lord Chaitanya, upon giving a devotee his mercy, would either ask other devotees to bless that devotee, or Lord Chaitanya would ask that devotee whom he had blessed to request blessings from the other devotees. So, Krishna consciousness is a very social affair, but one has to know how to take advantage of that sociability. A sincere devotee is always thinking that he or she is dependent on the mercy of others. In the material world, that is a disqualification. Material life means that you always are asserting yourself as independent, self-sufficient, expert, and self-reliant. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. A devotee is not ashamed to admit his or her dependency on the association of devotees. What to speak of dependency on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the spiritual master. The parampara is a chain of dependency, but not material dependency. It is material dependency that we have such bad experience of. As a devotee advances in bhakti, he or she becomes more aware of how Krishna has brought you through so many potential complexities, so many potential downfalls, so many potential detours. And that realization the devotee has increases the gratitude. And gratitude is a very important part of bhakti. If you feel that you have nothing to be grateful for, that means the heart is very hard. It's become like a desert. We want to appreciate how at every step Krishna is caring for us. That care starts even when you're a neophyte devotee. By associating with devotees who are wanting to make spiritual advancement, you yourself become equipped with the ability to see Krishna's mercy at every step, and naturally you become grateful. We want our vision to change. We want our perception to change. Therefore, quality association is required. If we have a situation in which the maximum sociability benefits of Vaishnavism are available, we should be very grateful. We should overlook any inconveniences. We should overlook any misunderstandings, which are naturally going to arise because this is the material world. And we are practicing bhakti within the material world. So different devotees have different degrees of relationships with the material world in terms of coverings, influences. So naturally, from time to time, there's going to be some commotion a little bit, but we shouldn't let it get out of hand or destabilize us. Srila Prabhupada, once quoting a Bengali proverb, said that when you have a bunch of kitchen utensils together, There's going to be some noise. Or if there's some pots on a cart and the bullocks are pulling the cart, as the cart progresses, the pots are going to move together and make a little noise. That's just the way it is. But we shouldn't become sidetracked or obsessed by these things. Oh, why did this happen? Why did that happen? We are not utopians. Utopian means a person who dreams of something impractical within the material world. Krishna consciousness is very practical, very realistic. It's a hospital that deals with patients, and it trains doctors. So the quality of the hospital is determined by how patients are becoming cured. Naturally, some patients will not be so careful. Naturally, some patients will not listen to the doctor. And some patients will listen to the doctor very closely. So, you may have the most competent medical staff of all hospitals, but yet there'll always be some patients that they're slack, or they're whimsical, and they become deluded. That's the way it is with hospitals. Similarly, our society of devotees is like that. But we should not just pick out this incident or that incident. We should look at the overall rates of curing disease. So if we keep that in mind, we'll not spin out whenever there's some routine misunderstanding or routine commotion. You didn't know that I was really sincerely trying to do this, and you didn't appreciate, you didn't show, or whatever. These things naturally go on when you bring human beings together. But we should look at the service that's happening, the spiritual advancement that's made, and not get fascinated by faults. Faults will be there, and we want to avoid them, of course, but we should not become obsessed by these things to the extent that our devotional enthusiasm becomes reduced. I remember as a young devotee, formerly I was in the New York temple, which was at that time in ISKCON, known as the number one temple for staunchness and focus, and then because of the BBT situation and Prabhupada's pushing for all his books to be published that had not yet manifest, some of us from New York were moved to Los Angeles. And the Los Angeles temple was known, well, it was in California, and it was known to be kind of like the Gold Coast surfer's paradise, and everything is possible there. California dreaming. They had some very strong devotees in Los Angeles. It's the origin of book distribution. But they also had a wider community that sometimes practiced Krishna consciousness and sometimes became absorbed in beach culture. So I remember as a young devotee making that move, and for the first time in my devotional career, I was hearing from persons who knew a lot about what was going on all in the whole ISKCON world. There was no internet then, and you couldn't even make a long-distance phone call. Phone calls were so expensive in the early 70s, just to call city to city. So everything came by letter. So these devotees, did you hear what happened to that devotee in Africa? Did you know what happened to that devotee in South America? And because Los Angeles was the crossroads for all the talk. So for the first time, I was in contact with such devotees who were just all day long saying these things. And my head began to spin.
Oh, what's going on? What is this?
As an innocent brahmachari. So finally, and also one of my associates was one. He was on and off as Prabhupada's servant. So he was always, "You don't know the back story. I'll tell you." You're seeing that devotee leader as very respectable, but let me tell you what Prabhupada said when no one else was around. I would, ooh. So it became so much for me, my head just began to spin. So finally I decided, I don't want to be like this. And so every day I would go into the temple room when no one was there and fall down before Prabhupada's Vyasasana and beg him, please give me back my enthusiasm. Please let me rise above all this talk and gossip and so on and so forth, fault finding. And in three days, it was all gone. Attitude was all gone. So sometimes we have to push a bit to maintain our devotional focus. We become stronger that way. So, this initiation ceremony is a social event. A social event of blessings. Anyone who has helped us in our bhakti development, we should never let them forget that. Someone you know who has, even in a small way, gone out of their way to help you in your spiritual development, you should always thank that person. It's said about children that more than two parents are required to raise a child. It takes a whole village. It's hard to understand in society today because in the cities people are so isolated. But I remember as a little boy in New York City, the whole neighborhood would watch out for children. My mother could go to any neighbor, even 5 minutes down, 5 minute walk down the street, and do you know what my children are doing? And that neighbor would give a full report. So that's the way a vibrant community of devotees is. Everyone's looking out for one another. Everyone's appreciating one another. So if someone has shown that they are considerate of your spiritual advancement, you should never let them forget it. Because what will happen, when you thank that person will become even more inspired to help and care for others. And the worst thing is the converse, the reverse, that you don't show any appreciation to those who have helped you, and in fact, you develop a callous attitude, and so that person feels very discouraged. Just see, I go out of my way to help this devotee, and then look what happens. That's it. I'm just keeping to myself. I'm not helping anybody. That's a great victory for Maya. When Maya can sideline a preacher, sideline a care of devotees, it's a great victory. So it's very easy to avoid that, just to show gratitude. What to speak of showing gratitude to Krishna? We have the tendency to develop lumps in the heart in terms of our relationships with Krishna, even in our beginning stages. Krishna, why did you let this happen to me? Why didn't you give me this? Why didn't you give me that? We need help and guidance to always see Krishna's loving hand in all our affairs. I was speaking in Mayapur about Jayananda Prabhu, how he left this world at 38 from leukemia, and Prabhupada wrote a letter to his departed soul. And at the end of the letter, Prabhupada wrote that Krishna has done you a great favor by not continuing your stay in the diseased body. Now, what do you mean Krishna has done him a favor? If Krishna really, well, you wouldn't say it like that, but if Krishna really knew what he was doing, he would have healed him so he could have spent a few more years in the body. That's the kind of God we want. So how can it be that Krishna has done him a great favor by taking him out of that body? No material life. The material world is no place of comfort and lasting succor. It is a difficult place. So, as Srila Prabhupada saw it, this is a difficult world. You have a difficult body, and Krishna has better things in store for you. So he ended up by saying, Krishna has given you a place in his service. I thank you very much. In other words, you've been a real disciple. You're getting the result of a real disciple. I thank you. To learn to see Krishna's loving hand in everything will make us secure. It will make us feel secure. That is the gift of bhakti, the only true security in the world. So please increase the sociability by appreciation, gratitude, and blessings. And of course, we want to inspire one another for that most precious goal of proper chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So at initiation time, we remind everyone to avoid the 10 offenses. When you chant Hare Krishna, you should always be longing in your heart, when will I actually hear the holy name? When will that day be mine? That longing in the heart is so effective for keeping us out of trouble, keeping us out of material existence. We're not longing or hankering for material existence. We're hankering to hear Krishna's name. So dedication to trying to avoid the 10 offenses, longing to avoid those offenses, and realizing our helplessness, and therefore we call out to Krishna like a child calling out to mother. That's the idea. And never consider that our work on our chanting is done. It's an eternal expression of our attachment to Krishna. Haridas Thakur, he at the end of his appearance in this world, he wasn't chanting all the huge numbers of rounds that he would chant every day because he was ill. But he presented himself to Lord Chaitanya that I'm in a diseased state of mind. I haven't finished that huge number of rounds that he would normally chant every day. And Lord Chaitanya himself presents himself as unable to fully taste the raga, the attachment for Krishna's name. I'm so unfortunate. I have no raga for the holy name. That is the heart of a devotee. So we're always, this is what we're in anxiety about. We're not so much in anxiety about our material situation. We're in anxiety, can I hear Krishna's name? So please be mindful of the 10 offenses and be mindful of initiation vows. You get strength from vows. They protect you in weak moments. Sometimes it happens in this world that everything spins out of control and you don't know what's going on and you're physically weak, you're mentally weak. You've gone through some unavoidable setback materially. In those moments, the tendency for the material mind is to say, aha, you really need some sense gratification now. Just a little dab of sense gratification will see you through. So your vows protect you in those moments. Because it's natural human beings want relief. And due to bad habits, they think they're going to get relief by taking shelter of the material energy in the form of sense gratification. My mind will be soothed. My burdens will feel less. So our initiation vows protect us. Even though we may be feeling pushed around by those urges to take shelter of the material energy, we remember, no, I promised I wouldn't do that. It's rough right now for me, but I promised I wouldn't do that. Let me go take shelter of some devotees who can protect me. So, please take your initiation vows seriously. When we break them, it not only damages ourselves, but it damages the Vaishnava community. It embarrasses your spiritual master who has recommended you to the parampara. Shudakirti Prabhu in his memoirs writes how devotees were approaching Prabhupada about intricacies in following Ekadasi. And Prabhupada's response was, what's the use of all that? My disciples can't even chant 16 rounds and follow the four regular principles. That was first things first. So our austerity in this day and age, a major part of it is following the regular principles. And Krishna appreciates that austerity. In other yugas, it would be a joke to ask people to follow the regular principles. But in Kali Yuga, it's a big thing. It's a big sacrifice. By following the regular principles, we are able to push ahead in our quest to hear the Hare Krishna mantra without offense. All right, we'll call devotees up for making their vows. Please give them your blessings and support. Particularly, we'd like, as always, to thank Aniruddha Prabhu and Achintya Rupa Mataji for their thankless task. Well, often there's thanks, but sometimes not. In making this Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir community vibrant, maintaining an excellent standard of deity worship. Making this a safe place where devotees can advance in spiritual life. A place free from concoctions and the latest fads and latest delusions. All right. Pratim's first one. What are the four rules? What to do every day? Minimum. I'll explain a little bit about your name. Your name is Kirtiman Krishna. Kirtiman refers to one of the 64 qualities of Krishna. He's famous for what he does. Nectar Devotion describes that Krishna's fame is like the moonlight that can dispel all darkness, make everything luminous, bright, and pure. When Narada Muni was chanting Krishna's fame, Krishna's glories, Lord Shiva was listening, and the blue line on his neck from having swallowed the ocean of poison, it disappeared, and his wife Gauri looked at him and then became afraid. This is not my husband. He's someone else. She left immediately. Showing how to be a chaste lady. She's also known as Sati. Chaste. And while Narada Muni was chanting Krishna's fame, Balaram noticed his white dhoti. He always wears white. It turned blue. Or is it blue dhoti turn white? Who knows? Blue dhoti turn white. Yes. Krishna generally wears yellow. Dhoti Balaram wears blue. So looked at his blue cloth and it became white. And the gopis looked at the Jamuna River. And the Jamuna River had turned to milk. So just by hearing Krishna's fame, so the gopis decided, well, when a river is milk, let's go and churn it into butter. It's life in Vrindavan. So that is the effect of hearing of Krishna's fame. All right. Hare Krishna. Make your obeisances. Kirtiman Krishna Das Ki. Manoj. Also, in the preparation of these devotees, we often, Nityananda Priya Prabhu has a hand. We like to thank him for his diligent efforts as a working householder. He and his wife, their contribution to the preaching is extraordinary. What are the four rules? And what to do every day?
At least 16 hours.
All right. We'll also explain your name. Your name is Ekatmagur. You are from the land of Mahaprabhu, yes? So, Ekatmagur refers to Lord Chaitanya, the one individual, the exclusive individual, Ekatma. How is that? Because he is Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna have combined as that one, Ekatmagur. Now, we should be very careful and not think in terms of time, the cause and effect that operates in the material world, because there's no such influence in the spiritual world. Therefore, it's pointless to think when did Radha and Krishna combine as Lord Chaitanya? Or who came first? Radha, Krishna, then Lord Chaitanya? Or Lord Chaitanya came first and then separated as Radha and Krishna? This is a pointless discussion and will lead to a distortion of eternal truth. The reality in the spiritual world is, as Jagannanda Pandit explains in his Prem Vivarta, the reality is that simultaneousness and eternality exist at the same time. Try to understand that one. You can think about it. So you can't figure out or analyze by chronology. You can go at it either way, according to Jagannanda Pandit. You can say first there was Krishna, or you can say first there was Lord Chaitanya. But the whole discussion is pointless. And then he gave his conclusion. Krishna enjoys more in Navadvipa than in Braj. Often I hear from devotees saying, when I go to Vrindavan, I feel more than when I'm in Mayapur. Well, according to the Acharyas, Krishna enjoys more in Navadvipa than he does in Braj. And that the loving affairs of Krishna reach their peak in Chaitanya Lila. This is something for you to think about. All right. Ekatmagur ki. Right. Prasad Babu. How about, please?
Say your vows to the patrons, please, loudly.
Loudly, please. Once more. Well, I couldn't hear. You have to say out loud. His wife is always there to help him. The famous Jolly Prasad Babu. Famous for his jolly spirits. Yes, Nectar Devotion says that Vaishnava is jolly. What are the four rules?
No onion garlic. No honey. No mushroom. No illicit sex. No gambling. No intoxication.
All right. And what to do every day?
At least 3 times.
At least. Yes. I will explain your name also. Your name is Bimala Prasad. Bimala Prasad, of course, was the name Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And according to Vaishnava accounts, Bhaktivinoda Thakur moved to Jagannath Puri, and he was involved in being a court administrator for the British Raj. And so, according to Vaishnava accounts, he had a dream one night, and Lord Jagannath came to him and said, "I didn't send you to Puri just to do legal work." So Bhaktivinoda Thakur replied, "Well, I know it's your desire that I start the Krishna consciousness movement, revive it, but I'm so old, I'm so advanced in age, I can't do this. Please, I need a son who can accomplish this purpose because I'm advanced in age." So then Lord Jagannath told him, "All right, you go pray to the deity of Bimala." Bimala is one of the spiritual energies of the Lord in the spiritual world. And in Puri, she has a deity. At our Bhaktivedanta ashram in Puri, they've installed a deity of Bimala Devi and another Shakti of the spiritual world. I can't remember. So Bimala Prasad, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was recognizing his son as the Prasad, the mercy of Bimala. So Prasad Babu has become Bimala Prasad. Bimala Prasad Babu Ki. Haribol. Anita. Anita is the mother of two wonderful Vaishnava children. They are here, or just, I see the son. Is the daughter here too? Hare Krishna. And her whole family gives much pleasure to the Vaishnava community. What are the four rules? And what to do every day? Yes. Your name is Lalita Prasad. Lalita Prasad, that's obvious, the mercy, the prasad of Lalita, who is in the, has her own subgroup in the main group of Srimati Radharani. Lalita is sometimes contrary, she scolds Krishna. And she scolds Srimati Radharani. "Why? Don't take him seriously. He's just a cheater." She's a bit hot-tempered. Not afraid to speak with a sharp tongue. These are the ways in Goloka Vrindavan. So, Lalita Prasad. Hare Krishna. Lalita Prasad Mataji Ki. So you all, once again, please bestow your blessings upon these new initiates so that their path back home may be smooth through all the intricacies and complexities of it that this material world produces. Those who are taking second initiation, please come at 12 noon for your mantra. Salila Katha Mataji and Yashomati Mataji. And I would like to comment that those who take second initiation, it is expected that you do brahmana activities. That means to share in the deity worship of the Lord by cooking, by doing puja. The deity is the proprietor of the Vaishnava community, of the property, the temple itself. This is all the deity's kingdom, and we are the humble servants.